You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. My name is Taylor Blake Ward, and thanks for tagging along with us today. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2019, a double episode day for us here at Locked On Angels. The reason why, the internet's been down in the local area where we record the podcast, so we're going to have two podcasts coming your way today. This is the first of two. This is going to be a fan mailbag from our Sunday night Twitter question and answer. We do that every Sunday night, 9 to midnight Pacific time. And what we're going to do is I'm literally just going to pull up my tweet. I send out a tweet at about 9 o'clock Pacific time. I say, hey, send me your baseball questions. Actually, I'm just going to read what it says. It says, Sunday night question answer, weekly question answer from 9:30 to 12 every Sunday. Any and all baseball questions, fire away. So these are the questions that we got on Sunday night. In our second podcast, we will recap the Angels' 4-3 loss against the Yankees, where what a wild one that was, huh? 14 innings, different kinds, all kinds of crazy. A pitcher pinch running. The game ended with a pitcher at the plate because they ran out of position players. Peter Borges playing second base. That was a real interesting game. But our first podcast today is going to be your questions, and I'm literally just going to pull the questions out from right here on Twitter. Speaking of Twitter, hey, follow us at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. You can be a part of the show that way by asking the questions on Sunday night. And if your question doesn't make it to the air here on what is Tuesday morning now, usually it's going to be Monday mornings that we have this regularly. If it doesn't make it to the air, don't worry. We're going to keep trying to get everyone involved. Make sure that there's no one that makes the show multiple times before others don't. Make sure there's no repeat questions. So keep trying. If you haven't made it on the show just yet, keep trying. We'll make sure we get you on as soon as we possibly can. Also, for the podcast later, check back in at LockedOnAngels.com or check us out on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya podcasting app. Free and easy to download through your Apple app or Google Play Store. And yes, we have all the podcasts from the Locked On Podcast Network. NBA, MLB, NFL Draft. Big week for the Locked On Podcast Network as they're doing their mock NFL Draft live. Really exciting stuff they got going on over there. So if you're an NFL fan, check it out. NBA, baseball, the works. We've got you covered. But hey, let's get to this Sunday night question and answer. And let's see. I'm just going to go with these tweets that we have here, and this one from at @ianr95, and the name is Jugo de Num Num. that's a funny one. Question is, how likely are the Angels to go after Gio Gonzalez should the Yankees not promote him? Well, we did know this later on Monday that the Yankees did release Gio Gonzalez, so he is a free agent. As for the Angels' interest, I can't say that they are absolutely looking, but I think all teams are going to be looking here. It only makes sense. Every team needs an extra starter, so it would make no sense for a team to pass up on this opportunity to at least look. I'm not saying that any team in particular is going to sign him, but at least look at this opportunity, see if you can get him for cheap, and add him to your rotation. And I think the Angels are sensible in that. I think the adding a lefty on the market that's been durable for a long time would make a lot of sense there. So I'm not saying the Angels will look into him. I'm not saying they're going to sign him, but I don't see why they wouldn't at least check in to get some numbers and see if it would make sense. This next one is from Jose Rodriguez at JRCR81701. When will Griffin Canning be called up? Now, this was a little bit of a repeat question almost, and I mean that just that this question came in a lot on Sunday night. And when it comes to Griffin Canning, he's close. And we're talking about, you know, weeks, not months here. What he's doing down in AAA Salt Lake, I think he's allowed one or two runs in three starts, four starts, striking out. It's three starts. And I think it was noted by Kyle Glazer, but I looked up the elevations. He's been pitching it. He's had two of his three starts happen at about a mile high in the sky, and the ball flies in the Pacific Coast League. This is huge that Griffin Canning is pitching this efficiently at these elevations. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a whole lot longer until we see Griffin Canning up. And like I said, it could be weeks instead of months. Someone asked this last week, and I think I told them to check back with me later in the week. His turn in the rotation, I did notice this, in the Salt Lake rotation would come later tonight on Tuesday night, and the Bees don't have a game. I looked at the rest of the rotation moving forward. Griffin Canning is not scheduled to pitch in the rotation this coming week. So unless they're piggybacking him or figuring something else out, who knows? Maybe it could be a sign that Griffin Canning is a lot nearer than we thought. So next one here from Darren at the Darren Dude. What's up, dude? Question is, what's happened to the starting pitchers that can go through seven innings? There's just not enough bullpen arms to get 12 to 15 outs each game through a whole season. It hasn't worked to win a ring, so why are starting pitchers pitching less innings? Darren, this is about the data. And I actually had a little bit of a conversation with Darren through Twitter. The data of a pitcher going through the order a third time shows going to the relief pitcher is more successful overall. Now, we are in a data-driven age of baseball, and yeah, we want to see pitchers go more than six innings. We want to see them go seven innings, and of course, you know, complete games are fantastic. But this is something that, you know, where we are data-wise in baseball, it makes more sense for these front offices to go to reliever because it shows more success. And I know that this is an Angels podcast, so just using the Angels as a sense, what they're doing in the minor leagues is developing a lot of their relievers to be multi-inning pitchers, two innings, three innings. And that's not just for, you know, guys that were starters that they're piggybacking and turning into relievers. That goes for guys that have been used in high-leverage situations in the minors, relief-only options. They're still trying to get them stretched out to go 50 pitches. And this is something that we have to really monitor across baseball. I think we're going to see this in the draft coming up. Is I think a lot of guys that, you know, have that relief risk, a lot of guys that have that relief risk of, you know, maybe they wouldn't be a first rounder because they have that relief risk. That's not going to be the case anymore. If you have that relief risk, you're still going to be a guy that's going to be so useful because of how we view relievers now. So I think that, yeah, you want to see pitchers go seven innings. That's fantastic. But it's just not going to be something that we see as much of in this new data-driven baseball. We got to head to break here soon. This one comes from Brad at UH Angels Fan. And Brad's asked a few questions on the show. And I told everyone that we're going to make sure that no one gets on the show twice before others ask. So tune into the second segment of this show, and I will make sure that Brad is not a part of that. No offense, Brad, but I got to get everyone out there. But I really enjoyed this. He said, this is from Brad. Really enjoyed the podcast with the Burlington Bees beat writer. Any chance you're going to do one with the Mobile Bay Bears or the Salt Lake Bees? Brad, that was with John Bonenkamp on Thursday. We had a wonderful podcast, full half-hour podcast. When it comes to Mobile and Salt Lake, yes, that is the plan. The problem is they don't really have a beat writer the way that Burlington does with John. Same with the Inland Empire 66ers. But I do have something set up to where we're going to have some pretty lengthy podcasts in regards to the Mobile Bay Bears only, the Salt Lake Bees only, and the Inland Empire 66ers only, with some of the local media in the area, as well as trying to get some guys that are with the team daily. And I won't mention exact names, but we're going to try and make sure that we get each affiliate out for a long talk and have some fun with what's going on in these podcasts. We do have to head to break. We're going to have more of your questions when we return in the second segment. But first, let's talk about Blue Chew. BlueChew.com is offering a special promotion for you listeners. Just head over to their website, BlueChew.com, insert promo code MLB, pay the $5 shipping and handling, and your first shipment comes free. Blue Chew is a cheaper, better, faster choice for male enhancement. It's the first FDA-approved chewable with the same ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. So you know they work, and since they're chewable, they work twice as fast and can be used day or night. Blue Chew, the cheaper, better, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring today's podcast. We'll be right back with more Locked On Angels. Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward, a double episode day here for us on Tuesday. Like we said earlier, the internet's been down, and we didn't have a show on Friday or Monday, sadly, and I want to apologize for that, but nothing we can do if there's no internet. So apologies for that. But we're doing our fan mailbag from our Sunday night Twitter question and answer. Make sure if you want to be a part of that, follow us at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. We do it through my Twitter from 9:30 to midnight Pacific time on Sunday nights. So you want to have your question on the air? Fire away. Like we said earlier, if it doesn't make the air this time, keep asking. We're going to make sure that everyone gets involved. This question coming from @StimpyJD. That's Jason Hernandez. He's actually a close friend of mine. And he asks, Justin Bour base running. ... And he says, I know it's not phrased in the form of a question, but his base running is questionable at best. I answered in one word. I said adventurous. So that's all you're going to get, Jason. Sorry about that, buddy. This one from @Greg, also Greg Bird. I could see Zach Cozart in utility role if he doesn't turn around in a couple of weeks with David Fletcher at third base and Tommy La Stella at second base primarily. Maybe move Matt Harvey to the bullpen if he can't seem to get through 3 to 4 innings in the next few starts once Tyler Skaggs and Andrew Heaney are back. Thoughts? As for this, Greg, I think we're just a little too early. And I know that there's a lot of frustration when it comes to Zach Cozart and Matt Harvey. I thought Matt Harvey pitched pretty well last night. I know this question came in before that. As for moving him to the bullpen, I think you kind of want to see if he can start a little bit longer. Maybe, like you said, 3 to 4 starts is not a bad plan. So, yeah, that's not a bad deal there. But, yeah, Matt Harvey does have to improve. Zach Cozart really has to improve. And I think we've seen some improvements from him. He's hitting the ball harder, just not finding the gaps. And as for moving him to utility role, a lot of people asked if they'd release him, if he'd be DFA'd. I don't think they're going to release him or DFA him. I think that that's just too much money and too much potential to leave on the table just after 1 month. I know this included last year's frustrations as well, but it's something that you kind of have to watch, and you have to look at this from a money perspective for the team. You have to look at it as a potential for the team. And yes, you have guys like Jose Rojas, Taylor Ward, Matt Theis that could take his position, Luis Rengifo. And yeah, you have those guys that could take his spot. If they're really better, I mean, I'm going to say this, and it's nothing personal against anyone, but the front office members are a lot smarter when it comes to baseball than we are. So if they're running Zach Cozart out, they don't believe that the other guys are ready just yet. And that's not to say they're not going to be good baseball players, but at this very moment in time, the Angels are going to put the best players on the field. And yes, that includes Zach Cozart. As for if he moves to a utility role, then yeah, I mean, it'd be an expensive bench piece. But if he can't figure it out, yeah, you are going to run David Fletcher and Tommy La Stella over him at both positions. So I think it was a great question, Greg. I hope that answered that a little bit. I think we still have a little bit of time in the season. We're still really early. I know that maybe time's going slower because the Angels aren't winning as much, but we still have a lot of time left in this season. Next question comes from Brandon Mason at MLB and UFC fan. When will Justin Anderson be back in the bigs? Man, Brandon, I don't know, man. I thought he would be already. And maybe after last night's game, the Tuesday night game or the Monday night game, they're going to need some fresh arms. And I don't see why Justin Anderson isn't going to be one of those guys. Maybe something's going on that we don't know about, but I would be stunned if Justin Anderson isn't up in the next couple days here. This one from @UnderTheHalo83. Do you think there's an issue with Jaime Barria's stuff falling off around the fifth inning? I found this really interesting because I had to look back at it, and he's one of those guys that he had to use the opener the other day with Hansel Robles. I think that was Sunday when Jaime Barria was starting. It's getting through the order a third time, which we talked about in the first segment, one of our questions. And when it comes to Jaime Barria, you really have to think about what he is. He's only 22 years old. And a lot of 22-year-olds are just starting in high A, double A, if even double A. Some of those guys even in low A baseball. That's the sign of a senior in college coming in the draft. So am I concerned or is there an issue? Not really. He's just a young guy that's still developing. A lot of physical development still remaining, even though he is a well-built young man. So am I concerned? No. Is there an issue? No. But it is something to monitor. It's not something to ignore by any means. You also have to take into account the context of this, that he is still 22 years old and still growing. So great question there. That was from @UnderTheHalo83. Thank you for that. And thank you for giving me something to think about. That was really an interesting question. This question from @AndrewChantha, and that's also his name. It says, if healthy and with small sample size and career so far, who has a higher ceiling, Chris Rodriguez or Griffin Canning? I'm not going to take performance into this one bit because when it comes to ceiling, you're talking about tools and if those tools can translate. And Chris Rodriguez, you're going to maybe be surprised by this. Griffin Canning, so likable, and he has a high ceiling. Griffin Canning could be a Trevor Bauer kind of arm, a true number two in any rotation. Chris Rodriguez has a higher ceiling. The pure tools of his arsenal are better. Velo holds a little better. The slider, the off-speed, everything is better. I think a lot of people could argue that he might be more athletic than Canning, which is surprising. But these are two guys that both could be really special arms in the future. So when we're talking about Chris Rodriguez and Griffin Canning, yes, they both have the high ceilings, but I think Rodriguez has a higher ceiling. Where we kind of make the argument now is the likelihood of reaching that ceiling, or the likelihood of reaching that 75th, 80 percentile of getting to that ceiling. And I think Griffin Canning is going to be the guy that's closer. I think Chris Rodriguez has a little bit too violent of a delivery. There's a few things that are holding him back from reaching that full ceiling of being an elite arm. Not to say he won't, but I saw Chris Rodriguez the other day and I was blown away. I think he actually could be the best pitching prospect in the Angels farm system, even over Griffin Canning. And if you've seen what I've had to say about Griffin Canning over the last 2, 3, 4 years, even when he was a sophomore at UCLA, I am a huge believer in Canning. So yeah, Chris Rodriguez, a really special arm. Great question there, Andrew. His final question comes from at Rex Coot. He actually does a really good job of going through the minors in Arizona and checking out the Angels. So if you get a chance, you could follow him. He does some good stuff. He asks, who's your pick for the Kentucky Derby? I got to tell you, man, I love horses. I think they are like the coolest animals. I think they're just giant dogs. But I do not know a whole lot about horse racing. I've got a few buddies that are really into it, go out to Santa Anita, actually heavily criticize Santa Anita, as they should. That place is a disaster. That place is hell for the horses. When it comes to my pick for the Kentucky Derby, I am going to go with Omaha Beach, and sadly, that's the only horse that I actually know, and I think he's the favorite. I want to say he's the favorite. I don't know off the top of my head if there is someone out there that's got higher odds than he does, but I love that horse, man. Like I said, horses are so stinking cool. I love them. So that's my answer for you, Rex. And hopefully you're having a good time out in Arizona. Hopefully I get to come see you soon. That's all we have for today's podcast. Remember, we have a double podcast, so come back, tune in later, and check out what we had to say about Monday night's 4-3 game against the Yankees. You can download today's podcast or any of the podcasts through the Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or the new Himalaya podcasting app. Free and easy to download through your Apple app or Google Play Store. Remember to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. You could be a part of the show that way. Just follow us on Sunday night, ask a question, and hopefully it gets to the air here on Monday morning. It'll be next Monday, and I promise the internet will be there. Or Charger's going to hear from me in a very angry way, and probably a written letter. So, hey, you guys have a wonderful Tuesday. I hope you guys tune in later today as we have our second podcast. If not, we appreciate you guys tuning in. Have a wonderful Tuesday, everyone. We'll talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place, here at Locked On Angels.